I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for tuning into Lodging On Demand. For this episode, we spoke with Stephen Ludwig, partner at Vox Rothschild LLP, Abigail Larimer, an attorney at Morris, Manning & Martin LLP, and Vinay Patel, AHOA treasurer and president and CEO of Fairbrook Hotels, about what hoteliers should keep in mind when furloughing employees. For years now, there has been a major dearth of hospitality talent in the industry with lots of unfilled positions. Now, due to the COVID-19 outbreak, many hoteliers are finding themselves in a position of having to furlough their employees. So we are talking with Stephen Ludwig, Abigail Larimer, and Vinay Patel on this topic, and we're just going to jump right in. What factors should go into making the decision to furlough employees? Stephen, let's start with you.
Well, I think the assumption in that question is that there's a need to cut costs. And while there's an option, of course, of permanently terminating the relationship, one goal, of course, is to keep employees attached to their employer, with the hope, of course, that this is a post-pandemic world and people can come back to work as soon as that's possible. And so a furlough, though, is because of the drastic need to conserve cash and because of the extreme drop off in business, a furlough may be the best option that an employer can engage in. So one of the issues with a furlough is that it achieves that objective of hope and attachment, but it also conserves cash flow because people would essentially be put into an unpaid status.
Vinay, do you have anything you can add to that?
You know, I mean, from a hotel owner's perspective, you know, a lot of different things. I mean, I think one of the things to consider is, you know, the long-term viability of staffing. I mean, you know, we're hoping that this thing is not going to last forever and ever, and we want to be able to bring these people back. And so, you know, I guess how you manage it would be critical in terms of the furlough or cutbacks. Obviously, I think as Stephen had mentioned, the cost is the biggest issue from an owner's perspective because cash levels are so tight that it makes it a lot more difficult to kind of furlough this. But you know, so we need to kind of go down this path here. So, and some of the other benefits as well. If you look at insurance, who's going to pay for that? You know, some of the other benefits that they may have already, and to how do you kind of manage those things here? So, and I'm not sure about the legal impacts of it. I'm assuming I'll leave that to the attorneys. I'm assuming there's some legal impacts to it as well.
Absolutely. Abigail, what legal impacts should hoteliers be keeping in mind as they make this decision?
Yeah, and there's a lot of things to consider. And I think, you know, one issue is that a lot of these are very, you know, fact specific, given the circumstances and also the, you know, the state law compared to federal law. I think you may want to consider if you first have a collective bargaining agreement in place, if there's a union that you're going to have to deal with if you're furloughing employees. Are there any WARN Act implications? And that could depend on, you know, how many people are being let go. Again, if there's like a state WARN Act, do you have exempt or non-exempt workers? And that could depend on how you're structuring the furlough and who would be letting go too. And you know, unemployment considerations, you know, that is rapidly changing right now as well. But one consideration that people can keep in mind is that moving people to an unpaid status, you know, they may actually be able to get more unemployment benefits right now than they would normally be used to. And so that's a way that you can sort of cushion it. You know, employees can be cushioned a little bit more during this time.
What about when you're communicating that a layoff is happening? What should be kept in mind when you're doing that, Abigail?
So that's a great question. And that's something I've been fielding a lot in the past week or so. I think one, people are having issues just even logistically. How are we communicating these layoffs when this is normally something, you know, you care about your employees, they're important to you. You want to be able to do this in person. But that's just not possible right now. So we are seeing a lot more emails. I've seen some video layoffs. You know, some of those have not gone over so well, and we've seen some negative press about those. But I think, you know, you want to be emphasizing the important, you know, how important your employees are. You know, keeping in mind, you know, if there's any, again, looking back at the WARN Act, you know, if there are any implications that you need to consider there. You know, referencing, I think it's important to reference that this is all related to coronavirus. It's an unforeseeable business circumstance. And then, you know, give them some options, you know, direct them to their State Department of Labor webpage. I think that is important too, to offer, you know, give them a guide to some resource. But I think really emphasizing it's a difficult decision, which I think people understand. But I think that helps to, you know, sort of, again, soften the blow a little bit to employees.
Vinay, how about from your perspective, have you thought about what you would say if you had to lay off some employees, or what would you recommend someone says?
Yeah, you know, last week I had gone to pretty much at all the hotels and had a one-on-one conversation. So even, you know, when I was reading this question, how do you communicate? Obviously, there are many different ways, but I found it face-to-face is probably the easiest and the most hardest, I guess, both ways you want to look at it. And it's a difficult thing. And then what we told our staff is that, hey, look, this is a tough thing. Not that it's not a choice. It's obviously something that's outside of our scope. And be, you know, compassionate to them, to them as far as their value, how we value them over the years. And this is something that hopefully is a short-term thing. But I think that just helping and coordinating anxiety. I mean, they're all nervous. Obviously, we have to acknowledge the fact that they're all anxiety and nervous. And what we told our staff is like, look, if there's a single mother of two kids, let's see what we can do here. Or if you've got a spouse or a partner who works, who's, I guess, in need, and how we can kind of work together on this. And so I think that if we all work together, we can kind of come through it in a better way. And so I think that's what we have told our staff, and making sure that if somebody's in absolute need, that we may be able to save this person, but this person we may be able can afford to. You know, to live without pay salary for a while or something. So, but I think showing compassion is probably the easiest and the best way to do it. And overall, it went well. But again, like I said, not an easy task, and it's not an easy message to deliver.
I have another question for you, Vinay. I was reading earlier that some hotels, I think Hilton as a brand, is directing laid off employees to companies that are hiring. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Same with us as well. So, you know, we're renovating some of our hotels. And so what we did was we directed some of our staff to go to a construction company, and we know some people. And so we said, hey, look, here's an opportunity for you to kind of find another job for the short term. And so we're finding options as far as what are the places that they can find jobs at and to alleviate some of the pressure of this year. And I think, again, like I said, I think when Hilton and when they furlough and, you know, find other avenues to find jobs, that's probably the best thing you can do right now. But the reality is that not a lot of places you can refer them to. I mean, you know, retail, restaurants, pretty much most of everything is shut down. But we have been able to find options for them in the construction industry as far as, you know, cleaning up construction.
Stephen, are there any legal considerations that you should take if you're recommending other companies while your employees are temporarily furloughed?
Well, I don't think there are any issues there. I mean, certainly, you know, from a legal perspective, I don't think there are issues in terms of referring people to other opportunities if people want to go that route. Of course, someone may land somewhere else and then you've lost them as your employee. But that is certainly so in terms of the communication issue, certainly the ideal approach would be what Vinay has done, doing a one-on-one. But that may not be feasible because there are too many employees, or people are already away, socially distant, so you can't communicate that way. But I think the overall objective is to express, you know, we're in this together. We will come out of this at some point, and we value you, and we're here to support you. As part of that, I think you need to support people's informational needs. So how do you get unemployment? Each state has a website, although some of those websites have been crashing. So someone can apply online It's not like the old days where you went to an office and had to stand in a line. There are also phone access as well in most places. In many states, there was a waiting period where people would not be eligible for the first week of unemployment. Part of the bill that was passed by Congress last week, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, was to appropriate $1 billion to encourage states, because each state has its own rules and each state has its own system, to encourage states to eliminate a waiting period. So some states have done that, some states have not. For example, just to give some examples, California, New York, Pennsylvania have waived the waiting period. So the good news there, of course, is when people eventually get their check, it will be retroactive to the first day of unemployment. And by the way, people are eligible for unemployment, and this act also encourages this in most states, if it's a termination of employment, if it's a permanent layoff, if it's a temporary layoff, if it's a furlough, if there's a reduction in hours, if there's a salary cut. In all of those instances, employees should be encouraged to apply for unemployment, because in most instances, they're going to get it, although it may take a couple of weeks to get that check. And these benefits are, I think, going to be retroactive to actually January 27th. In addition, as we speak, and this is being recorded on Tuesday afternoon, the Senate is debating another bill called the CARES Act, which will appropriate for unemployment $250 billion. So if that gets passed, there's going to be additional unemployment benefits. I've heard, for example, an extra $600 per week on top of what an employee would otherwise get for 90 days. So we'll have to look at the details when that's passed, and I'm assuming it's going to pass. So you want people to know about that. Another important factor which Vinay touched upon is employee benefits in terms of health benefits. Are they going to continue? How are they going to continue? Are there rights under COBRA? Is there a state mini COBRA? So I'll stop here, but those are some of the issues that are out there.
Abigail, what other legal considerations should owners and operators keep in mind with this tough situation?
Yeah, and Stephen just gave some great advice. One thing we were just talking about unemployment. One thing that I'm reminding my clients to tell their employees in this whole process is, you know, a lot of people are getting questions, am I definitely going to get unemployment? And, you know, Stephen's correct, the guidance is to instruct them to apply, because ultimately that's going to be up to the State Department of Labor. So fortunately for employers, they don't have to handle that, making that decision themselves or just telling people whether they can apply. Lots of legal considerations under, you know, different types of furloughs. I think we kind of talked about some before. You know, certain kinds of layoffs can trigger, what's known as the WARN Act. And that doesn't apply to all employers. And again, you've got federal WARN Act and state WARN Act. But federal WARN Act is private for profit and private nonprofit employers who have 100 or more full-time employees, or 100 or more employees, including part-time employees, who work at least a combined 4,000 hours a week. And generally, this act applies in certain situations of a plant closure, site closure, or mass layoffs that you're supposed to be giving employees notice of their layoff. Of course, right now, that's just really, you know, difficult for people to do. It's such a fluid situation, changing constantly. And, you know, while this was something in the news, I think the immediate economic effects have been very sudden for a lot of hotels and a lot of other industries in the U.S. And so, you would want to evaluate whether, if you are having to do a layoff, how it could be implicated by federal WARN or any state WARN Act, and see what you can do to maintain compliance in a difficult time. Unfortunately, while there is an exception for unforeseeable business circumstances, there has not, and unless something's come out within the past, you know, few minutes or few hours, with everything rapidly changing around this, there's not direct guidance on whether, you know, COVID-19 is going to qualify under that exception, like a natural disaster, like a tornado or a flood would. So that's probably, you know, one of the biggest things I think that people are grappling with right now and trying to get their heads around. How can we be compliant with WARN when we're having to, you know, face all these layoffs?
Right.
Kate, if I can add in to what Abigail just said, if it's a furlough, then in all likelihood, WARN is not triggered, because if you have a layoff of less than 6 months, then it's not considered what's called an employment loss under WARN, where a notice is required. So I think everyone is operating under the view that the layoff will be less than 6 months. So that's another reason to consider a furlough as opposed to a permanent termination. And Abigail also mentioned, and it's really important, that you not only look at federal law, but also look at state law, because a number of states have their own what are called mini WARN statutes, or at least what lawyers call mini WARN statutes, where there are additional state requirements. Now, a number of states, their statutes specifically exclude situations where there's been a declaration of a national emergency. We have that. So in a number of states, the mini WARN is not going to apply. In California, for example, though, the state has issued guidance and said, you don't have to comply with our mini WARN statute, but you have to give notice to employees. So it's really important, if you're an employer generally of 100 or more employees, so you're a covered employer, to consult with legal counsel. It's unlikely, but I can't say absolutely, that if you're a smaller employer, smaller than that, then generally the plant closing, the mass layoff laws are not going to apply, but it's always good to ask that question.
I want to ask another question of Vinay. So if a hotel does have to do layoffs or furlough its employees, how should they keep in touch with those employees? And how often should they be reaching out? Because you were talking earlier about the best way to communicate the layoff, but I would also imagine that you need to keep in touch with your employees if you want them to come back, and they may be able to come back at the drop of a hat.
You know, obviously I'm going to come from a non-legal background, so I'm not sure what the legal options are, but from a hotel owner or a management perspective, you know, there may not be a set time, as in weekly or monthly or biweekly or whatever, but I think that every so often you should keep in touch with them and think what's going on. And you know, obviously, as business picks up, we'll obviously need them back. I think a set pattern of maybe certain times, you should reach out to them, obviously, you know, phone call, email, text, or whatever. It depends on how you've been communicating in the past. But you know, I think a good way to kind of communicate with them often enough, that way you know where they're at and how they're doing. And also, you may be able to get them back once the business picks back up.
Well, that's actually one of my next questions, is how can hoteliers retain these good employees so they're not faced with a labor shortage when this is all over? Vinay, let's start with you again. Do you have any ideas there?
If you look at the last, couple of years or a year at least, you know, we've been facing labor shortage. So, you know, we've been in this pattern for a while, and though just my personal opinion, this is going to take some time to unwind. I think that, you know, you have a lot of people that are you know, going to be laid off or furloughed or whatever. And so these people will be coming back to look at jobs eventually down the road. But I just think that it's going to be a while. I just don't foresee this happening and saying 90 days from now, we're back to normal. I think this is going to take a good year to unwind. And so how do you keep these people motivated? Again, like I said, I think from an owner's perspective, you might have a bigger pool to select from as far as labor compared to what you had a month ago. So I think that at the end of the day, the reality has always been, how do you motivate and manage the staff that you have? And that's how you can retain them. If you have not been doing a good job on that side, you're not going to be able to continue. You know, you're not going to get the staff back in the future as well. So I think that same pattern of motivating and managing your staff before would apply in the future. But I just think that it may be a little bit easier time to find people, just because of the requirements that we may have as far as availability of jobs.
Abigail, is there anything that hoteliers should keep in mind if they're looking to bring employees back after a furlough? Are there legal issues that they have to be cognizant of?
Well, I think, you know, one thing we mentioned earlier would be, you know, if there is a collective bargaining agreement and making sure that, you know, any seniority considerations are going to be the same, you know, once you are bringing people back. Another thing I wanted to flag, I do think it's important, you know, again, with the goal of being able to bring your workforce back and get some of these good employees to return, you know, there can be some wage and hour concerns with ongoing communications to employees, particularly if you have an exempt employee who is being furloughed. You just want to make sure that you have structured that furlough in a way that you're not going to have someone suddenly become, you know, non-exempt, and then there are, you know, minimum wage issues, overtime issues, and that can even be triggered by someone reading or reviewing, you know, even one email, answering a few questions when they are supposed to be furloughed. So that's just something to keep in mind. Other onboarding considerations, you know, I think that's going to be dependent on how long the employee has been furloughed, what is happening with their benefits. That's going to be, you know, dependent on your healthcare plan documents. So you may want to take a look at those, see if there's anything that you need to or could amend at the time being that could be helpful either now or down the line.
Stephen, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I do. If forgive me to hijack this a little bit. There's some things that I think you also have to go into the calculus of furlough. One is, if you furlough people in most states, if people have accrued paid time off, you probably don't have to pay that out. But if you terminate people, you will have to pay all the PTO if that's your policy, because oftentimes those are considered wages. And if you're trying to consider cash, if you're trying to consider conserving cash, and a termination is going to trigger a big payout of this accrued liability, that's something that's a piece of the puzzle and has to be part of the calculus. Another issue we touched upon was the health benefits. And in terms of employees being appreciative that the employer is looking out for its workforce, I think an employer needs to consider, is it going to actually pay for another month or two of health care coverage? Under COBRA, and COBRA applies to employers with 20 or more employees, there are things that are called qualifying events. So if there's a termination, that's a qualifying event. And most times the health coverage is going to end either at the last day of employment or the last day of the month that the person was employed. And then employees can continue benefits at their own expense under the group health plan. But also another qualifying event is reduction in hours. So certainly a furlough would be a reduction in hours. And so an employer could choose to say, okay, you're on your own, you need to pay for your COBRA benefits. And so employers will be faced with coming up with the cash to maintain health benefits. Now, also be careful if you're an employer with under 20 employees. Most states have a mini COBRA law, so there are different obligations, but it's the same concept where employees would have to continue at their own expense. The nice thing about the mini COBRA laws is generally that's administered by the insurance carrier, not by the employer, but there are generally obligations on the employer to tell the employee of their rights, and also a notice to the employee of how they, I'm sorry, the insurance company to notify them of that. So that's a factor, but an employer can choose, we're going to keep people on, let's say for April or May. And maybe they keep that open-ended, but you have to work with your insurance broker and you have to work with your insurance carrier. Many insurance carriers already said, even though technically people on furlough would not be able to continue them on your plan, almost universally insurance carriers are saying you can do that. That's okay because of this incredible circumstance. So I suggest that's something to consider, and hopefully employees will recognize, hey, my employer didn't have to do that, but they were trying to take care of me and my family in this time of need. And also, by the time that, if you, even to do that for a month, during that period of time, there might be direct payments that are going to go to each household under this CARES Act. Someone may finally get their unemployment compensation check. So when they have to actually pay the premium, they'll actually have cash to do that.
One last question for everyone, and I'd love everyone to weigh in on this. If you could give hoteliers one piece of advice regarding taking care of their employees during this really difficult time, what would it be? Vinay, let's start with you.
Looking back at the last week and a half on this, is empathy has been probably one of the words that I would use to suggest, and what would you want to give to your staff of empathy on this here? Because obviously, just like as a business owner, we're facing major dire issues. I think the employees, they are as well. They're looking at, obviously, how are they going to feed families? How are they going to pay their bills? And there's a lot of anxiety and there's just a lot of uncertainty out there. And so I think that if we can show empathy to the staff and make sure that, hey, look, and comfort them, probably the best advice I would give at the moment, because there's just so much uncertainty. I hate to say you can't give any advice in one room, because everything changes. Rules change, laws change, and the markets change day by day. And so I think everybody's so uncertain, so it's hard, but I think empathy would be something that they're looking for and needing.
Abigail, how about you?
I really want to echo that too. I think that, showing, concern for your employees and their families during this time is going to go a long way. And I'm sort of adding on that with also trying as much as we all can under the circumstances to have patience as well. Patience with our employees when they're coming to us with these, tough and complicated questions. What are they supposed to do? They have a lot of anxiety and they're freaking out. And, to try and just remember to be patient with them, patient with business colleagues while we're all working through these contracts, and then also just patience and kindness to yourself too, I think, because I know that these are a lot of, stressful and really difficult decisions that everyone's having to make that, no one was anticipating having to do that. And, to as much as I think we all can to try and not let this, stress be overwhelming, that we are, forgetting about, again, to have empathy and to be kind to, other people. And I think remembering that will help, once this is all over, we're all in this together, we will get through it together. And that's going to help have your employees come back to you and, eliminate some of these problems that you might be worried about down the line.
And Stephen?
I'll build on this, but I think Vinay is absolutely right. And I think you do want to communicate with employees by providing them with resources that are available to them. In some instances, maybe they'll have issues with getting unemployment or getting their health care coverage exactly right. And if you can be an advocate for them and assist them and let them know about the resources or just check in with them, if that's possible, I think that's going to go a long way. So you have that relationship. Now, each employer is going to be different. If you have 1,000 employees, you're probably not going to be able to do that. But to just maintain that, because there are just so many unknowns, and we really don't know how long this is going to last. And to also, as a general expression of hope, we will all get to the other side of this. But there's going to be periods of real challenge, but we're all in the challenge together. And if you can communicate that and support people that way, I think that's going to inure to the benefit of what happens at the end of the road.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. I want to note that we recorded this episode on Tuesday, March 24th, and some factors contributing to our panelists' answers may have evolved since then. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel.